more. Shalom, everybody. Shalom. All right, we are ready to go. I know we talked about a lot of deep things last night, and I wish I could say it's going to get lighter today, but it's not. So let's get into this. I want to thank everybody. People have sent me cards. And I want a few people to know that how much I really appreciate them, because when you support the church, man, sometimes it's like with me, I'm thinking like, you know, everything's taken care of. You know, I don't try to see that part of the portion of the church. Pastor Ben will tell you, I don't want to know. His wife is a accountant with a master's, and she knows how much money was spent on each bag of potato chips for a whole year. So I'm telling you, the lady is good with money, okay? So, and we want to make sure that when people give that their money is being, well, your money, which is you give it, you don't give it to us, you give it to God. Right. And God will, you know, I mean, help us in this endeavor that he's doing. But since really, you're giving it to God, we have to be careful what we do with it, right? Yes. So thank you for everybody who's so wonderful in doing that each month or whatever schedule that the Holy Spirit has you doing it. It's a wonderful thing. We want to thank you because we have not always had the support, Pastor Ben, but we have a lot of good friends now. We want to thank God for that and thank you. Okay, so.
Greetings from Portugal.
Portugal, praise the Lord. Portugal, oh man. Wow, I'm getting a lot of added people, Pastor Ben, from all over the world. I'll send you the list. You should see my friend requests when I get home sometimes. It's like I got to spend almost an hour answering friend requests. So I know we're adding a lot of new people to this service, but let's pray in Hebrew because I love the Hebrew language. I love what it offers us to understanding scripture. So let's get started.
Yes.
Are you there, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll say the Lord's Prayer this morning because in this 120th year, I am praying for exactly this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Praise God. Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yi Kadeshim Ha Tavo Mehuteke Yi Aserot Sanaka Be'aretz Ke Asher Ne Asa Beshamaim Tenlano Hayom Lech Mukeno Uselach Lano Et Ash Metenu Ke Asher Solechim Anachnu Leon Mer Anachnu, excuse me. Ke Asher Solechim Anachnu Le Asher Ash Milanu Vialte Vieno le de Masakim Hasilano Mihara, Kilaha Hamamlaka, Vehagivra, Vehati Ferret, Leola Me, Leola Mim, Amen. Hallelujah. Beshem Yeshua Hamashiach, Naklu Tefillin, and Bonalek, let's get started.
Shalom from South Africa.
A lot of people coming from South Africa, and I welcome you all to begin this journey with us or the ending of this journey with us, whichever it is, we just want to thank you. We're going to get started, but we're going to get started today in the book of Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 16. Because what we talked about last night was putting on the whole armor, because God is trying to explain to us a very important thing. And what's that important thing that God's trying to explain to us? You are in a battle that is against spiritual wickedness.
Amen.
You are not in a battle that has anything to do with the flesh except fighting your own flesh. But the battle is spiritual. The enemies are spiritual. The schemes are in the spirit realm and manifest themselves to our realm.
Yeah.
And so we have to remember that we are in a spiritual battle. Therefore, God gives us great instructions in Isaiah chapter 6. how to fight a spiritual battle. And a lot of it has to do with knowing the Word of God, standing on your faith, having a breastplate of righteousness, because if you're living right, you can stop a lot of problems. So the breastplate of righteousness, and that righteousness comes in Christ, but we hold on to it because we understand that we have to be protected, and living righteous is part of protecting you from foolishness.
Amen.
The other thing is knowing the Word of God well enough that you can use it as a sword or a weapon. So since that Word of God is a sword and a weapon, you can use it, but you know, you don't give a gun to somebody who hasn't been instructed on how to use it, because they'll kill themselves. So God wants you to get into your Word and learn how to read it and learn how to study it, and you know, to study. Like I said last week, what the rabbi had said to me.
You want some water?
No, I got one right here. The rabbi had said to me that he says a yeledim in a hagan, a child in kindergarten, can read the Bible.
Right.
He says so God did not instruct us to just go over it. He says study to show thyself approved, or be diligent in it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
It means you're going to have to do a little bit more than studying sometimes, because you want understanding as you read. And studying also requires a little prayer before, because you want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and to instruct you on what you need to study further, so that you can understand what's being talked about that.
Yes.
There, because, you know, many false doctrines have begun by a genius reading the Bible and not studying. he comes up with an idea and starts a whole religion off one scripture. Okay.
What part are we at?
We're in Luke chapter 16. And we're reading from the top about this. Well, is it from the top? Let's see. There was a rich man who's a manager. Okay, yeah, actually we're beginning our reading from verse 19. So when you get there, say amen.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 19.
Luke chapter 16.
I'm sorry, Luke.
Verse 19. And this is where we're going to get into a couple of different books so we understand this, okay? Because this is just, I think when God writes something in the Bible and we never ask questions about it, right?
Right.
Okay, so we're going to read this, but then we're going to ask questions about it and then get into it deeper, okay?
Yeah.
It says here, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied. Now, this is the thing that I want us to ask the question. Where are they? Because the rich man went to Abraham's bosom. I mean, the poor man went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went into Hades or into hell, and he can see from the other side Abraham and the poor man. And they can have a conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Now one's in torment and the one's in paradise, because obviously he has the water.
Right.
So some good things are going on over there. Now, this is a bad thing to just be in Hades, but to be close enough to see that there's water right on the other side is torment.
Amen. Shalom from Italy.
Shalom, Italy. That is torment. They have, I think of the funny thing where we're playing football and everybody's out on the field and everybody's exhausted, you know, from playing, and we just want a break so we can get some water. And you know, they have the commercials going, and it's beer commercials. They're and like, and all the players on the field like, oh God, like they're killing us. Stop doing those things. They put it on the big screen and everything, and you're out there just wishing you had. Well, I imagine it's kind of like this in Hades. You know, you're just sitting over there, and you just like just wish you could just have a little water.
Right.
Okay, but he's in torment. And he's in Hades, okay? Now, it says, but Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. So that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.
Yep.
No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophet, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from
the
dead.
That is so true. Shalom from the UK.
Shalom, UK. Baruch Yeshua. So now we understanding that there is this place. But where is this place, right? Because we want to know from other scriptures. Now you can make up a place and say, okay, this was, but God wants you to know that this is in the middle of the earth.
Yep.
He wants you to know that what is going on here is in the middle of the earth, where paradise and Hades exist at the same time. Now, paradise has been cleared out,
yep,
which gave God the opportunity to expand Hades. Okay? So now, paradise has been emptied out. When did paradise get emptied out? Go to Matthew chapter 27. But before, while you're in Matthew chapter 27, we're going to read, I'm going to read Esdras chapter 4, verse 35. You know,
Matthew 27?
Yes.
What verse in 27?
We'll get to Matthew. Let me read this, Esdras, 2nd Esdras chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. And so Uriel, the angel, is talking to the prophet Ezra. And he says to him, he answered me and said, you do not, he says, he answered Ezra, because Ezra was like, when are we going to be redeemed? And when is, you know, all of this going to be over with, right? It says, because Ezra's trying to rush the process, okay? Right. So the answer said, the angel said to him, do not, it says, you do not, you are not rushing. Don't rush and be faster than the Most High. Don't try to hasten things to happen faster than the Most High.
Right.
For you are in a rush for your own self. But the Most High is being slow on behalf of many.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
It says, did not the souls of the righteous in their chambers ask about this matter, saying, how long are we to remain here? Mm-hmm. And when will come the harvest and our reward? Okay?
Yeah.
So the righteous dead are asking the question to God, how long do we have to remain here? How long do we have to stay here? How long, when is the harvest going to come? And it's amazing that they're asking about a harvest because they know that they are a part of a harvest that is about to be released from paradise. But they want to know, can we get going? When are we going to get out of here? Now, the prophecy of the coming Messiah was known. And they know that the Messiah is coming. And they know that Jesus is Dalit, the door, because the door to the kingdom of God cannot be opened until the door opener comes. You understand? And so they're waiting in paradise. Now, you're in Matthew now?
Yes.
Chapter 27. Here we go. The story of the door opener. Awesome guy. Okay. And it says in verse 50, 27 verse 50. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the body of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb and after Jesus, they came out of the tomb after Jesus, okay? After Jesus resurrected, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, it's up to the reader to guess what holy city they went into, but I do not think they went into the physical holy city, because I know that there are two Jerusalems.
Right.
There's a heavenly Jerusalem, and there's a Zion, a Jerusalem in heaven.
Yeah.
I believe if you're resurrected and the door opener has opened it, and they've been waiting for the harvest, now you're getting the first harvest. What is the first harvest of the season? The barley harvest. So now what God has written about in the Old Testament, when he says you are to come to Israel three times a year at the Feast of First Fruit, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and then Tabernacles, and make sure when you come that you do not come in empty-handed, because they have to bring the first fruit of their harvest.
Yeah.
Well, now the first fruit of the harvest has resurrected, which is Jesus, and now he goes into the abyss.
Yes.
Excuse me. He goes into the abyss and he takes out the righteous and leads them into the kingdom of God in heaven.
Yes.
The first resurrection. Okay? Now, what's the second resurrection? The second resurrection is the resurrection of the dead. But you know that we have two more resurrection and raptures before we get to the resurrection of the dead, because the resurrection of the dead doesn't happen till when? After the 1,000-year millennium. So therefore, the rapture and resurrection, that's another harvest, the wheat harvest. Jesus talks about the wheat harvest. Then you have the rapture and resurrection of the fruit harvest. And then that's the end of it. Then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, but Jesus is back reigning and ruling on earth at the Feast of Tabernacles, because it's also called the Feast of Ingathering. All of the harvest has been ingathered. The Feast of Tabernacles, because he's coming down to tabernacle. Okay? So we understand that. But let's go to Ephesians and see if we're correct, because we don't want to base scripture on one or two scriptures. We want to always have a witness, okay?
Amen.
So we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Grace has been given. Okay, and we'll start in verse 7, okay? And it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appropriated it. This is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. In some translations, it said he led captive in his train. So as he's going in the train of him leaving are the righteous, okay? So he led captivity captive or in his train and gave gifts to men, okay? So when he died on the cross, the scriptures is letting you know he did not only just ascend, because that's all we read about in Acts, but he's saying in Ephesians, before he ascended, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Why? Because the righteous dead were there asking a question. How long do we have to be here? Until the door opener opens the door. The door opens the door, he becomes the first fruit. Now the first harvest leaves earth and is now in the kingdom. That means the world is waiting on two more harvests before we can get to Christ tabernacling among us, because the feast of ingathering is here.
Yeah.
Okay. It says verse 9. He ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower regions, and he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Okay? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Praise God.
Amen.
To do what? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So what's the church for? To prepare other workers.
Yeah.
I'm not here to reign and rule over people and make them good tithers. I'm here to prepare other workers to work in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Once you've learned enough, now go and work.
Yes.
That's a whole nother subject I could talk about for a long time, but we're going to move on. Okay. Now, let's look at this. The book of Jasher. Okay. Wonderful book. Mentioned twice in the Bible. You know, if I find it easier to read if the book has been quoted in the scriptures, because the 66 books are my base. If anything I read in any other book does not agree with the 66 books, I just kind of go, well, whatever. It has to be in agreement with the base of God's scripture. But here's something that I thought was very interesting, okay? It says here that in verse 18 of chapter 5 in Ezra, it says, and their judges, there was judges and rulers, and to the daughters of men, and took their wives, we're talking about the angels, that took them wives by force from their husbands according to as they chose. So they took people's wives, and these angels began to sleep with them. And it says, and the sons of men, and to those days, took from the cattle of the earth, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and taught mixture of animals one with another, and in order to therewith provoke the Lord. And God saw that the whole earth was corrupted. Now, it's saying here that angels were into mixing DNA of different animals and mixing, because actually what they had done was provoking God's anger, because angels mixing with humans was mixing DNA.
Yes.
Okay? And God says they were doing this as far back as before the flood, angering God.
Before the flood.
So they were into mixing genes and but why wouldn't they? Because now they've seen one of the most corrupted DNA mixtures ever to happen in the world, and that's angels with humans. Right. And they saw what it produced.
Yeah.
What did it produce? It produced giants, okay? And it produced giants that their appetites were so great that they consumed everything that man had grown. And they began to eat the animals and the birds, and they turned themselves even on men, that they began to devour even human beings.
Yeah.
Okay, and to drink their blood, okay? Now, if we know this, and the scripture says they were on the earth before the flood and after the flood,
yeah.
Who is their father now?
Satan.
Their father is Satan. Now, listen what I'm trying to tell you. Somehow, the Nephilim didn't die in the flood. But everything on top of the earth died. Where did the Nephilim go?
Mm-hmm.
Did they go inside of the earth? Did they hide under the earth? How is it that they survived? No, none of us know. If anybody says that we absolutely know, nobody really knows. But we do understand that they have survived,
yeah.
Okay? They survived the flood. Then they also survived what? The invasions that God caused upon them to go and destroy these cities.
Yeah.
All of the cities that were that had manifest Nephilim in the cities, God sent the Jewish people to go in and fight wars and to kill not only the men that were Nephilim, but killed the women that are Nephilim, and killed their children that are Nephilim. He says, even those still sucking at the breast, kill them. Wow. And of course, if you don't understand Nephilim, you would think that God is just a cruel person. He just would kill off a whole community of people, men, women, and children, and infants, and animals, just to give the Jews a homeland.
Right.
Or is God doing something else? He's trying to rid the earth of Nephilim.
Amen.
Which is what we are doing now. Now, this is what I'm going to say to you. 46, okay? 46 years, Jesus says. They said to him, you say that you can rebuild this temple in 3 days?
Uh-huh.
46 years it took them to build this temple. Now, why did it take them 46 years? Because of the DNA structure of 23 and 23 makes 46. Okay? So to build that physical temple, but Jesus says, no, but I was talking about my temple, which has 46, right?
Right.
So now he's talking about this temple, and he's talking about the 46. Now, when you're talking about the 46, we have to look back and watch Nephilim as they operate in the earth, but you have to watch that them operate in the earth according to the knowledge that God has given us.
Yes.
Because there is no reason in the world for a guy who belongs to Skull and Bones, okay, to read Psalms 23, when the Twin Towers fall.
Mm.
Notice they fell too, 23 and 23. So he reads Psalms 23. Now when they rebuild it, the two into one, which is what? The whole plot. to make man both Nephilim and human and to ruin the DNA.
Right.
So they rebuild the tower into the one world center, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now Obama says, I'm gonna read Psalms 46, okay? So now, do we think as human beings, oh, they are playing, they are scheming and playing with us. Because we're not thinking in spiritual terms,
right,
we think that he just read Psalm 23. No, but he didn't just read, he read Psalm 23 because he know that the separation of those two are now going to become one.
Mm-hmm.
Then Obama comes who says, you know, the yes, I can, thank you, Satan, in his thing, and the whole thing of being his hands painted with six fingers. He's not ashamed to let you know that he is Nephilim, okay? Like I said, Kanye's name backwards in the Hebrew is Anak, which is a form of Nephilim.
Right.
So, because I'd never heard the name Kanye until then, but his name backwards is Anak, which is one of the Nephilim, right?
Wow.
He's got 21 Grammy Awards. They reward each other.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I want you to see the picture. They reward each other. The who's the biggest artist this past year was Billie Eilish or something like that. She got most of the Grammys, but she has songs that she have dedicated to Satan and Lucifer, saying that she misses him and how life is great with him. And so she's singing directly to Satan, and she gets almost all of the Grammys this year because they award each other, okay?
Wow, that's deep, that's deep.
So I want you to know that the people that run the world are of the Nephilim breed, okay? But how did they get here? Now, we have to ignore a lot if we think that they're not here. First of all, I'd have to ignore Joyce, okay? I would say and forgive me, Joyce, I'm playing here. I would have to say, Joyce, I don't believe that story. You're just a crazy old Jesus lady, right? If I'm going to ignore what she says, because if I'm going to ignore that she says, look, my father took me to the place, and I'm telling you, they were working with aliens, and they're not aliens. We know there's no such thing as aliens. There's either demons or there's humans.
Right.
There's either Nephilim or there's humans.
Right.
But she said they were working with them. When who is the guy that for espionage got kicked out of the country? They were trying to arrest him. He ended up in Russia. Anyway, I read the whole affidavit that he had written. It was most of it was about the grays and the whites,
right,
and human relationship with the grays and the whites, and God and Obama's rulership over the grays and the whites, and how much they had never taken orders from a man before, which is what's written in the affidavit. But now the grays and the whites are taking orders from a man, which was Obama.
Yeah.
And even Putin was asking, who is this man that he has so much power? Russia was scared of Obama.
Right.
To the point that they did what Obama asked them to do at the time,
yeah,
because something was going on.
Shalom from Birmingham, Alabama, and from Canada.
Shalom. Oh, Canada. See, I could sing that song every game. Shalom, everybody. So now, don't forget, we're going to save some time for
Q&A.
Q&A. Okay, so now, this is what I'm going to introduce to you, but I don't... Now, it is very well known that there are underground bases, military bases. In these underground military bases, a lot of things go on,
mm-hmm,
okay? MK Ultra was done in underground bases, okay? What Joyce said, the military compound that her father said they were working with these people, underground military bases, okay? So this is the question, do we have underground military bases where things go on there that the human race is not privileged to know?
Of
okay? I'm leaving this into your hand, but I want you to know and to study and to understand that the Nephilim were not destroyed in the flood, and the Nephilim still exist to this day, but they exist in a different way. They do not exist as giants, because what was their thing? Mixing DNA. Do you think they don't have the desire to mix with DNA? I watched a documentary of people getting taken by crafts, they say, and they said they took them, and they showed them a movie, and they said, come in here, and they set them down, and they showed them this movie, and it was this family, and they were washing the cars, and they were playing, you know, with the water with each other, and then he says, the alien asked him this, do you see any difference between you and us? And he says, what? And he says, see, one day we'll all be together.
Wow.
We'll all look the same, okay? Now, I would have to ignore that documentary and say, that guy was a nut, and that never happened. Then I would have to ignore Joyce's experience, and I would have to ignore everything that people tell me that these things are happening, but I'm watching a behavior in the world that is very strange. The Baphomet symbol that seems to be held up only amongst the elite. Do you know how hard it is to form your fingers in that structure?
Yeah.
Nobody accidentally does that, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that we have something in the world that is united.
Right.
And they're united under a hand signal.
Mm-hmm.
And we see all the time presidents, movie stars, world leaders, all showing this same Baphomet hand signal. So now we have to ignore that. Let's ignore that and say, it just happens that they all played at Texas University and that's the Longhorns. Okay, so now we would have to ignore that. So now we're saying we have to ignore a lot of evidence of things that are going on that we know that are strange in the world, like the restaurant that serves people, okay?
Yeah.
And you can go online and you can find out where it is and who some of the members are. But now I don't know of a restaurant that serves human beings, but this is what's going on. Now you have Ronald Bernard saying that there's sacrificed children and pedophilia and what's the other thing, Nick? Not just pedophilia, but the eating of these of human beings was also. So you're getting all this information that a lot is going on that is cannibalism, yeah, but it's like a lot is going on throughout the world. And as Christians, we don't want to hear none of this, right?
Right.
And we don't want to think about satanic beings living on the earth. Most Christians come to church to hear about what? Themselves.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Okay. I want to know what the Lord has to say about my breakthrough and my upbringing and how he's going to bless me.
Yep.
Now, if you can do that, you can be a famous pastor.
Yep.
But if you're just talking about the gospel and the truth of what's going on in the earth realm and the battle that we have to fight, we try to ignore that because I don't come to church to hear truth. I come to church to be encouraged about me. Okay?
That's so true.
I'm just telling you how it works.
Greetings from Germany, Pastor Sandy.
Greetings, Germany. I got to learn some German. Write me some German in there so I know how to greet you. I think I'm going to keep a whole list of all the countries and just have a greeting right in front of me so I know what to say as soon as
I... That's a good idea.
Amen. Okay. So now I'm going to...
Got 10 minutes before Q&A.
I watched this video called Hollow Earth, okay? I watch everything with skepticism. But I watch everything with the understanding that does it match with the Bible?
Right.
Is it possible that Nephilims still exist upon the earth, and they have mastered DNA technology where they can clone a human being and have a person walking around looking like a human but have a Nephilim spirit and a Nephilim gene pool. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to show you. Now,
H-A-L-L-O is literally how you say hello. Hallo.
Hallo, okay. Empire under the earth. Now, this I just want you to look at and say, and look up, say, look, number of world leaders that have traveled to the Antarctic. And you will find out that almost all the world leaders have to go to the Antarctic as like some mandatory trip. And I'm like, what is up there that Obama needs to go to the land of ice and visit? What is up there that Russian leaders have to go and visit? Or religious leaders have to go and visit? And so you can look up a list of people that have gone to the Antarctic to visit. And now you get the story of Donald Byrd, or General Donald Byrd, or Admiral Donald Byrd, who went there and said, there is a community of, and this is what I don't like, he said they were kind to him. And I don't believe in kind demons. But I do believe that they have a agenda that they want to integrate with human beings. All of them, all of what they want to do is to integrate with human beings. Okay? So I said, is that possible? Why would they want to integrate with human beings? And I said, and does scripture really hold to that theory that Nephilim will integrate with human beings? So I go to Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel is talking about the end times.
And what verse?
I think it's about chapter 40.
Someone said, did Trump go to the Antarctic?
I don't think Trump will go. But maybe he has. Look it up. I haven't looked it up. If Trump went, then I will never, because I think they're playing, either Trump is a really good guy or they're playing a really cruel joke.
Yeah.
Because he has arrested a lot of pedophiles, uh-huh, and has a lot of good things going, but how do you become president of one of the most evil empires in the world and not be a part of it?
Right.
Only thing I can do is understand what Dr. Pechenik, and you would have to listen to Dr. Pechenik and how they decided to bring Trump in and why they decided to bring Trump in. And that would be a whole nother study you would have to do. But they brought him in because of a lot of corruption that was going on in the world. And they advised him also of the pedophilia that was going on in the whole world.
Yeah.
And so Trump made that one of his goals, was to stop the pedophilia. And about 7,000 arrests and thousands of children freed. So either he's working against them or he's working with them. But if he's with them, what a cruel, slick joke. But my hope is not in Donald Trump.
Right.
I don't even think there's going to be an election this year. I think the church is going to leave and they're going to separate this whole thing into 10 kingdoms. And then that's how it's going to happen. But I don't really even believe that there's going to be an election this year.
Amen.
So in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 42. And it says, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. Now he's talking about the Roman government there, okay? And he says, and just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so they will mingle themselves with the seeds of men.
Yep.
He's talking about end times here.
Yeah.
He's saying they will mingle themselves with the seeds of men. As you saw iron and baked clay, they, who are the they? Will mingle themselves with the seeds of men.
Yeah.
Okay? And he go and he's going on and he's talking about, and he says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself endure forever. Talking about Jesus' kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay? This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold into pieces. The great God shone the king what will take place in the future. So in the future, toward the end, what is God saying? They will mingle themselves with the seeds of man. That's what I'm telling you. They have mingled themselves with the seeds of man. Otherwise, you don't have child sacrifice and eating children and eating human beings and having ceremonies where these Nephilim are sitting around. They kill a child. They pour the blood into a cup and they stand around and they're drinking the blood of a dead child that they've sacrificed. You don't have that type of activity among human beings. But if you go back to Esdras and he said they began to eat the flesh of human beings and to drink their blood, you'll say, oh, the same behavior then is the same behavior now. And very possibly we have Nephilim living among us because Daniel said they will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. So this is what we need to understand. This spiritual war is deeper than what you think. I'm going to end this and we can go into questions, Pastor Ben. This morning, Tom Hanks and his wife announced that they have the coronavirus. Now, Tom Hanks is a Nephilim and his wife and probably his children, okay? And also, Tom Hanks is a pedophile because the guy who blew a whistle on him being a pedophile, Tom Hanks had him murdered. Because Tom Hanks went on his Twitter and said, oh, roadkill on Highway 66? I hope not, with a glove there. And then a few days later, the guy that implemented him or implicated him into child pedophilia was the guy, is the same guy that dies on Route 66 in Arizona. Which Arizona is one of the most corrupt Nephilim regions because you got so much demonic activity going through Mount Hermon and through this other guy, Terrell, who's also manufacturing demon activity in the area. So look, the war is bigger than us, okay? So now let's pull it all the way back. What does God tell us to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make sure that you are putting on your old armor every day, reading your word, praying. When you pray, you get involved with the war. I prayed over the coronavirus this morning because I know it's a hoax, but I know that it will get Christians out of position if we keep watching the news and watching what TV is showing us about the coronavirus. You'll be at the store and hiding food in your backyard in a hole because you believe that God's not going to take care of you in this time.
Amen.
Because that's what they're trying to do. They're creating a panic. They're destroying the economy because they're trying to save themselves. And we'll see what Dr. Pashinik says when he comes back. But he should have plenty to say, and I'm waiting on it.
Amen.
Okay. Now, you know what time it is?
Q&A.
It's question and answer time. So if you have a question, I will answer it. And if I can't answer it, I'm going to say, give me your email and I will send you an extensive answer.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So where's the question?
All right, my parents are buying tennis. Okay, Q&A. Does every chapter in song correlate with the year after 120? So after Psalms 120, is it still talking about world events?
Yes, because Psalms 20 talks also, is really the psalm of going up, but Psalms 20 through Psalms 127 gives you a perfect scenario of the tribulation. So the first year, we know that we go up and Israel's in trouble because the nations are going to come against it. So Israel will be in trouble. So Psalms 20 talks about Israel asking God for help. Psalm 21 is God telling Israel, I'm going to help you, don't you worry. Psalm 22 says that the temple is rebuilt, so it says, let us rejoice when we said, let us go to the house of the Lord. The Jews can't go to the house of the Lord because they don't have a house of the Lord. But in 2022, it says the house will be rebuilt. Psalms 23, it says that Israel is still crying out for help because the people of the earth are still against them. Psalm 24 is the middle of the tribulation, and it says Satan throws out a flood of water against the nation of Israel, but God protects them. Psalms 25 is that he protects them. Psalm 26 is more protection, but at the end of Psalm 26, God says that I will return with my sheaves with me, which is the harvest that he took. I'm returning with the harvest with me. And we know that we return with Christ. Psalm 27 is them praising God that Israel has finally given birth to her own children.
Yeah.
Because she gives birth first to the church, which gets raptured, and then she gives birth to her own children at the end of the tribulation.
Amen.
Okay.
What is the Bible talking about when it's talking about the different heavens, the first?
Oh, heaven. Okay. The first heaven is the heaven that we can see. Okay, the sky, which is really, I'm going to tell you, it is like a, for God, it's like a tallit. It's a cloth that's covering so that you don't see what's really going on. The second heaven, which the Lord says is corrupt, has all of the demonic spirits that are ruling in heaven, in the prince of the power of the air. So they're ruling in the second heaven. That's why they have the Lucifer telescope, because they're trying to see what's going on in the second heaven amongst these demons. And that's why the Vatican has the Lucifer telescope. Now, the third heaven is the highest of all, which is called the Obama or the Bema, right? And that's why it says this is where Satan, I saw Satan fall, you know, as Obama. OK,
yeah.
And so the highest heaven is the Obama, which is the dwelling place of God. So you have three heavens. The one you can see, the one that activity is going in, what we might would call space, and then you have the highest heaven, which is where God is.
Amen. Did the flood start in the 120th year or after the full 120 years were over?
It started in the 120th year. So I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 6 and 7, and it will say when Noah was 600 years old. When Noah was 600 years old, that was the 120th year. And it says, in the second month, on the 17th day of the 120th year is when it started. Now, you can also go to the book of Jasher and chapter 5, and Noah keeps saying, for 120 years, I have preached to you for 120th year. Now in the 120th year, the flood came. So the flood came in the 120th year. But the Bible tells us the flood began on the second month of the 17th day in the 120th year.
Amen.
So it didn't go the whole 20th year. It didn't go the whole year and then float into the next year. It says, early in the year, that's when the flood happened, okay? So I know the guy that did that video, and that's not a good video because you're not sticking to scripture and you're going against the Bible, because the Bible said the flood didn't wait till the whole year was over.
Right.
The flood happened on the second month on the 17th day. So we look for early rapture, not a wait till next year in 21.
Is playing video games bad if you keep it in check?
The scripture says to not be addicted to anything.
Right.
Don't let anything have control over you, okay? So if you're playing video games and you're spending more time playing video games than you could plan reading your word, then you're spending too much time in video. If you're ignoring your family because you're playing video games, yeah, it's a problem. Now, I'll tell you what the bigger problem is. Video games are made to be addictive.
Yeah.
So if you're playing them, it's like saying, okay, I'm just gonna play with drugs. You know what I mean? Very few people can casually do drugs, okay? And I don't think you can casually play video games. I think that it is made to be addictive and to consume your time, okay? Amen. So if I was you, I'd just ask the Holy Spirit to deliver me from it.
Amen.
There was a time we didn't have no video games and we got along just fine.
Amen.
We went outside and play. Go outside and play and come back.
Yeah. The Book of Enoch speaks of the Titans that were 2 miles tall. Are they coming back like the Nephilim?
I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about Titans that were two miles tall. So that's, I don't know if that's myth, but I've read Enoch. If you can send me a scripture that talks about a Titan that was 2 miles tall, I'll read it, but I haven't read it in the Book of Enoch or anywhere else about a 2 mile tall Titan.
Amen. Please ask why there are 150 songs and what do they stand for?
Well, the 50, 50, and 50 are the separation of three jubilees. So that would be the joy or the completion of God. It would be the same as being 888. So it's a complete new beginning and a new time. So all the Psalms are separated. They're separated into separate books. There's the Psalm of Ascent, and then of course you got Psalms of David. So they're all separated, but them being 150, all I could really say is 50, 50, 50. But if you want to know more about the numerical value of 150, I'll get back to you because I can study that gematria on a deeper level, and it will give you the reason why 50, 50, and 50 is important to God. I believe it's because of the separation of three, 50, 50, 50, meaning
Jubilee.
The Jubilees and the new beginning, the same as because 8 and the 50 are basically the same thing, a new beginning.
Amen. Could it be that only the Father has the right calendar and that even the seasons are corrupt as well, meaning the rapture could be in this month of March?
Someone else asked me that and I said, well, it would really be kind of funny that God is off a little more than we are because he sure brought Israel back into the nation
right when he said
in 1948. And Donald Trump sure did announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews,
yep,
right on the Jubilee year.
Yes.
So I don't think we're too much far off than God is, because he seems to be sticking with his calendar, and so I'm sticking with his calendar. And he's doing it, seems to be right on time, especially 19 years after Israel became a nation in 1948. 2 Kings 8:25 said 19 years later, Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, and exactly 19 years later, from 1948 to 1967, they won back Jerusalem. So it seems like God is perfectly on time, and the Psalms show you that he's on time because the Psalms are dictating to you the prophecies are on time. So I think the Psalms numbers are correct, and I believe that God's events that are happening in the world are correct, and he's doing them in perfect time. Otherwise, you don't have a Jerusalem being declared to Israel in 1917 as General Allenby does that, and then you don't have the Six-Day War in 1967, exactly 50 years later after that. And then in 2017, I'm thinking, okay, at some time of the year, Jerusalem has to be declared belonging to the Jews. And of course, Donald Trump does that. So God is like, I'm still fulfilling prophecy, I'm still on time, so you can trust it.
Amen. Before we get to the next question, Pamela, we're giving you a shout out to all the kiddies that are homeschooling and watching Pastor Sandy while they're at home homeschooling.
Amen. Okay, don't go to the next question. I have a statement that the Lord said to do. I get a lot of email from India and Africa. Everybody has an orphanage. Everybody. Okay, and they need money for the orphanage. Okay, I'm going to say this. It's a very dangerous thing to market God and to play with God, okay? If you don't have an orphanage and you're not taking care of children, don't call, try to get in contact with American Ministries so that they can send you money, knowing that you are not taking care of children or doing something for God. Because I know, at a company, I checked all of the accounts to make sure that they were all in order and that nothing was out of order, okay? Mm-hmm. I was very good at it. I know this, that if I get 100 emails or 100 friend requests from Africa and India, if all of them have orphanages, all of them aren't telling the truth.
Right.
Okay? So I'm saying it's a very dangerous thing and God will judge you for that. So if you really don't have an orphanage, don't do it. They tried to trick us. One person tried to trick us with that before, and God gave us the wisdom to not send them anything. But he wasn't the first person to try and trick us. So be careful about trying to market God and to use a falsehood to get money out of people for a ministry that you don't have.
Amen. That's the truth.
Okay.
Amen.
Praise God.
Last question. Well, how many questions do you, because we're out of time now, so we're last.
Okay. Last question.
Okay. Will only those that are eagerly waiting to get raptured, or will all believers be included in the rapture? Do you have to be eagerly aware?
I believe that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, you can absolutely not even be thinking about the rapture or even want to know about it. You might just want to know about doing your work and your daily activities with God and just love God. You don't have to know about the rapture to be raptured. Knowing about the rapture does not make you saved. That's why when I witness to people, I'm going to tell you guys, I never walk up to anybody outside of this church and say, I'd like to talk to you about the rapture. You know, because you know why? The scriptures never told me to preach the rapture. God told me to preach the rapture to the church so that the church will be ready. But he never told me to preach the rapture to people who aren't saved, because people who aren't saved don't even believe the gospel yet.
Right. And they're not invited if they're not saved.
And I'm not trying to scare anybody to get into heaven. I'm going to preach to them the gospel. I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, and how they can be redeemed, okay? And if they believe that and we become friends, later I'll tell them about the rapture, but the rapture is not for people who don't believe in Jesus, so preach the gospel.
Amen. Time up, Pastor.
Time's up. All right. So let's pray ourselves out of here. Thank you. Those are good questions. And I like to see the Titan thing, because that sounds crazy. I've never heard of that. So if you have that, please send it to me. Okay. And that is... God said to Moses, when you see my people, bless them this way. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Le'itriot be'shavua haba yom chameshi anachnu. We'll be here.
Amen.
All right. All right.